There was a young family that gathered around the front door of their home one morning. The entire family was trying to get through the door at the same time. You all know what it's like. Mom and Dad were trying to get off to work. The kids were trying to get off to school. Dad grabbed his briefcase, the kids grabbed their book bags, and then Dad kissed Mom on the cheek, and he said, "Goodbye, darling, have a good day." She smiled back at him, kissed him, and said, "You have a good day, too." And then, with an even brighter smile, she said, "And you do remember what we're celebrating tomorrow, don't you?" He didn't have a clue. But he said, "Of course, you don't think I'd forget tomorrow, did you?" Assuming he'd figure it out later. So he left the house. He jumps in a car. He's driving down the road, and he's thinking, "What in the world is today?" It wasn't her birthday. He knew it wasn't their anniversary. He could not figure it out. So when he got to work, here's what he did. He called a local florist shop, and he ordered 12 American Beauty roses and had them delivered to the house with a note to his wife that said, "These are to help you celebrate the day. I love you," and he signed it. That night when he got home, he said to his wife, "Honey, you can forget about dinner. I've hired a babysitter. We're going out to celebrate the day." And he took her to one of the finer restaurants in the city, and they dined until the late evening hours. When dinner was over, they got back home, they checked on the kids. He paid off the babysitter, and then he pulled his wife close in a warm, loving embrace. And he gave her a long, lingering kiss. And he said, "There, darling, what do you think of that day?" And she said, "You know, I got to admit, this is the finest Groundhog Day I have ever had." The point is, the celebration is not what's important. No matter how beautiful the celebration, no matter how elaborate the celebration, no matter how moving and tender the celebration, the celebration is not what is important. All that is important is the event. And if you lose sight of the event, the celebration is pointless. There are a great many Christians today, especially Catholics, who spend a lot of time and energy and effort and put in a lot of focus in their worship in celebrations of liturgy. And that's fine. Liturgical celebrations of faith are wonderful. You should be involved in them because they do what they're supposed to do. They help you focus on your faith. They help you to strengthen what you believe. You believe in God. That's what they're for. However, many of those people, at the same time, spend very little effort, very little time, very little focus, sometimes none at all, in quiet time, in prayer time. You cannot believe if you do not take quiet time to experience the presence of God in your life. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In one aspect, for the disciples, the apostles, the contemporaries of Jesus, in one aspect, it was easier for them to believe than it is for us. Remember what Jesus said in the gospel, "Those who believe will be saved. Those who do not believe will be condemned." It was easier for the contemporaries of Jesus in some aspects to believe because he lived among them. They experienced him. They could hear his voice. They experienced his personality. They felt his love. My goodness, they saw him walk on water. They saw Peter walk on water in faith and fall beneath the waves in doubt. They saw the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the curing of the lame. They saw the resurrection, the transfiguration, and now the ascension. My goodness, how could they not believe? They believed in what is called real time, the present moment, They experience Christ in their lives in the present moment, and that is why they believe. The saints of the church, the mystics of the church, the theologians of our church have told us down through the centuries, you cannot believe until you experience the presence of God in your life. In our culture, they say, you cannot experience the presence of God in your life in the present moment. You can only experience His presence when you look back on your life and see that God has been in your life, has always been in your life, has taken care of you, and then you come to believe He will continue to do so in the future. It is only when you take the time to look back on your life, you see that there are no coincidences. Let me give you an example. There was a young man who'd run into financial difficulty, and he prayed to God for financial security. He couldn't find a job. Finally, he did find a job, but unfortunately, it was a very low-paying job, entry-level position, in a field he didn't even like. He took the job because he had to, and concluded God had not answered his prayers. This happened many, many years ago, at a time when computers were just beginning to enter the workplace, and this young man had no proficiency in computers at all. He sat down at his desk, and there was no typewriter. There was a computer. He told his supervisor, I don't know how to use a computer. Supervisor said, no problem, we will teach you how to use it as a typewriter. That's all you got to learn, and you'll get along just fine. All right, not surprisingly, after he learned that, he began to experiment with it. He became a little more proficient. And as the days and the weeks and the months went by, he got to a point where he was very proficient with the computer. Another job opportunity opened up. This one required computer proficiency. He applied for the job, he got the interview, and he was hired at a very good income. Health insurance, profit sharing, pension plan, in other words, financial security. And he realized that at the moment he thought God had not answered his prayer, which was precisely when the only thing he could find was an entry-level, low-income job, the moment when he thought God had not answered his prayer was precisely the moment that God had answered his prayer. The theologians, the mystics, the saints of our church tell us we can only come to believe, seriously believe, when we experience the presence of God in our lives. And for us to do that, we must take quiet prayer and meditation time. If in your worship, all of your effort is in liturgies of faith, and you take little or no time in quiet prayer time, your worship is incomplete. Now, I'm sure each and every one of you do pray. And if you're like most of us, yours are prayers of petition. And that's fine. Please, God, help me do this. Please, God, don't let this happen. Please, God, let that happen. Please, God, give this to me. And that's fine. But try this. When you pray the next time during your prayer time, do what you normally do. Use rote prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Get started. Use prayers of petition. Please help me with this, that, or the other thing. And then try this. Try for just a moment to be quiet. Instead of doing all the talking, try listening. No, I don't mean you'll hear the audible voice of God. If that happens, you really have a problem. But try listening. Try being still. You know, if a young man and a young woman are in love and the only time they're together is when they go to movies and dances, but they never have any quiet time together, their love will not grow. Here's a method that I use that you might try. You might use a scripture verse in this manner. Sit quietly and say to yourself, be still and know that I am your God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. And then Be still. Now, at this point, some of you might be thinking, you know, it looks to me like the deacon, like the guy in his story, completely forgot about what we're celebrating tomorrow because he hadn't even mentioned it. And if you're thinking that, you're absolutely incorrect. I know precisely what we're celebrating tomorrow, and I'd like to take just a moment to pay respect and honor to two groups of people to whom I pay respect and honor every Mother's Day. The first group consists of mothers who are extremely happy. They live happy lives. They've got happy families. They are very successful. They're surrounded with love. Their children love them. Their families love them. And tomorrow on Mother's Day, it will be a great day of celebration for them, as it should be. They will have parties. They will have dinners, cards, flowers. People will sing to them. They will have a nice day tomorrow, as they should. After all, they have sacrificed an awful lot to their motherhood. The second group of people also consists of mothers. But for them, Mother's Day can be like a knife in the heart. There'll be no cards, no phone calls, no gifts, no celebration. If you're in this group, you know, it could be because of something you did. Or it could be because of something completely beyond your control, such as death. Also in this group are women who are not mothers. Well, they would like to be mothers, but they never will be. If you are in this second group, you must get through it. You must find some way to get through your sorrow and return to being a happy, loving person. You are a precious little daughter of God. He loves you very much. He wants you to be happy. You must find a way to get through your sorrow. May I respectfully make a suggestion if you're in this second group? Tomorrow, Mother's Day, might be a good day for you to call on the Mother of God. You know, when Mary agreed to become the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus Christ, she also became the Mother of Sorrows. You might call on the Mother of God in your sorrow and ask her for help. No, I don't mean ask her to clean up the mess. Prayer does not work that way. Ask her to give you some good ideas how you can return to a life of joy and happiness. Ask her to give you courage to do what you have to do. Ask her to give you wisdom to make the right decisions. If you're in the first group, you know, tomorrow might also be a good day for you to turn to the Mother of God and ask her to thank God for you for the gift of your children. And you might also, if I can respectfully suggest this, you might also ask Mary to help you to remember and be aware of every day your responsibility to your children as a role model. For example, if by what you say and what you do and how you live, you're giving your children the idea that all of your happiness comes from things, the big car, the big boat, the big house, the big career, the big paycheck, the prestige, the power, the money, if you're giving your children that impression, you are condemning them to a life of frustration and sorrow because they will spend their lives chasing after happiness in all the wrong places. So no matter what group you're in, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your how you got into the situation you're in, I have this Mother's Day wish. This is my wish for tomorrow for each and every one of you. Have a happy, 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 happy Mother's Day. You deserve it. Oh, thank you.